Good morning. Check, check. Check. Hello. Hello. Okay. Good morning. My name is Cole McGee. I am Lonnie Cole McGee. If you get an email and it says Lonnie, that's actually me. I'm going to keep my introduction brief because we have a lot of students that we're going to celebrate this morning, these seniors in high school as they graduate. First of all, I want to make a general comment about this class. And then I'm going to give an explanation of what a spiritual gift is, what I mean when I say that. And lastly, I would like to give a few instructions on the ceremony itself. Okay, so this class growing up was actually never really that super tight. They didn't really hang out very much growing up. They got pretty close, I would say, this year. And I remember a few of the people in this class one time, they were all standing next to each other watching this group of older students play Nine Square. And one of them turned to me and said, man, again, they're all kind of standing together. And they go, man, Cole, why don't I have friends like that here? And I wanted to grab their face and be like, look. But that's the way it went for a while. And COVID didn't help things either. But I think this collective sense of loneliness in the midst of showing up over and over again, two amazing things happened for this class. They developed this keen sense of why church matters, like what church community means. They understood the spiritual and transformational power of friendship and fidelity, and they learned it because they struggled for it so hard. And I have said that this is one of the first classes I've ever had that didn't just enjoy the stuff we did, right? They really understood what we were doing and why we were doing it. They picked up on that. And when they finally did bond this senior year, I think this group changed our youth group for a long time. Younger classes are now trying to model their relationships, and their leadership and example is invaluable for our youth community. So this morning, I'm going to be naming in you all a spiritual gift. A gift is not something that is for me to give. You notice I said naming. A spiritual gift is something that is given to you by God. We say it like this: a spiritual gift is something that God is trying to bring into the world through you, through your story, through your life, through you as a human being. And my job is to name that gift. My job is to bear witness, to see you, to know you, to call out to you and say, this is what I see. And then from here going forward is your response to that call. You don't have to agree with what I say at all. You can listen and be like, eh, that old guy, whatever. Or you can take it and run with it. My hope is that you give me the opportunity to call out your gift, and it is your job to go forward from here in response. This morning, I'll call you up one by one by your name. Please stand in the middle of the rug right here and face the congregation awkwardly. And I'm going to speak a meditation about you, and your small group leader will, after I'm done, your small group leader will come up, and they will give you our gift and walk you over to this side of the altar. So you will start on this side of the altar, and you will move over to this side of the altar, symbolically moving into full participation as an adult in this church and with the people of God. This morning is not simply for these students. It is an announcement for you that they are ready. I vouch for them to fully lead and participate in this community. Okay? So let's do this. Let's first call up Hope Brayton. Hope. Hope, you had to go first. I'm sorry. Hope is a kind and brave human being. She started coming to youth group a year ago and just never stopped. And I think you started coming because of Shirlene, but you quickly made your own path in youth group. And you even started bringing your own crew of friends and family. And I'm always amazed at kids who just show up to a room full of strangers and just walk in and just start making the place their own. And Hope, you have this way about you that is interesting to me. I'm not sure where it comes from because I need more time to hang out with you. But I remember you asking me one night at youth group about love. Do you remember this? You were asking me about love. You might not. It's okay. It wasn't this kind of romantic or dating love that most high schoolers want to talk about. You were looking for language to describe love as a kind of thing or something that tethers us together. And you were asking me, you asked me, Cole, do you think love is real? And at first I thought this is going to be a small conversation about, I don't know, dating or something. But I quickly realized, no, you were actually after something. You were working to make sense of something. Hope, this is why I name in you the gift of wisdom. I don't know why you came to Redemption. I don't know why we were having that conversation. But I've been a youth pastor long enough to know when a student is working to make meaning of their life and their future. And what is amazing about you is that you weren't looking for quick tricks or answers. You never do that. You were asking this deep and fundamental question about what kind of world we live in. Is love real? And I want to talk about that real quick. In 1 John, we have a verse that says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." And what does all that mean? It means your question that you ask is the question. It's the question. The text says, God is love. Is love real? I confess sometimes I don't know. No, I don't know. But let's let the answer to that question be this. Over the past year, you have given courageous love to me, to us, and I hope you have felt that we love you and we are so proud of you. And I don't know if love is real, but today I believe it. Hope, we love you and we are so proud of you. Alyssa Gagnon. Alyssa showed up to our youth group randomly with some friends and also just never stopped coming. She was like, yeah, this is the place for me, and then made it a part of her life. Kind of just like that. It was like, I guess Alyssa is just going to be one of us now. And I love this about you. Alyssa has this clear sense of what is good for her and what is not. And she just ruthlessly pursues things in her life that will help her pursue wholeness. And I have to admit, I misread you, Alyssa. I misread you. I'm going to be brutally honest right now. I thought Alyssa was kind of this, like, I'm going to be honest. I thought you were like this, like, basic middle-class sports girl. And I did. And I thought you were just like this person who loved high school and her friends and wanted to go to school in California. And you're going to be pretty... You know, like, you weren't going to have a lot of conflict in your life. You just loved being happy. I didn't think she was really going to be thinking about the world that deeply. But you kept coming around to youth group. And I'm just being honest. Our youth group is not afraid to tackle some pretty heavy topics. And we aren't exactly a stimulating youth group experience. We're trying to go for something deeper. And I just kept thinking, why is Alyssa still coming around here? And I was wrong about you, Alyssa. Alyssa is interested in journalism, political science. And while, yeah, she is positive and happy and has this infectious personality, if you start talking politics, philosophy, or journalism, she has some fascinating and smart questions and observations about our political system and our world that we live in. We were at McDonald's, and she was telling me about these interests and some of the accomplishments she's achieved in this area. And Alyssa, I was shocked. I'm sorry. I was so wrong about you. And I'm publicly confessing I'm sorry. Alyssa, this is why I name in you the gift of leadership. Some leaders are hopeful and positive and full of energy, but they are often an inch deep, and they just avoid the conflict or complex ideas and serious problems in our world. And people are attracted to these leaders because they make them feel good. But after a while, those leaders can't really lead through the valleys of life. Amen? They don't have the depth. And there are other leaders that have and can wrestle with the deep and complex tensions of our world, but they come out the other side depressed and without hope. I'm not saying that's me, but I... People are attracted to the depth and complexity, but after a while, they want hope. Alyssa, I've been trying for the past 10 years to find a way to synthesize these two leadership realities. And you do it naturally. You are the convergence of these two realities down into your soul. You're deep but hopeful. You're full of joy and full of complexity. And I'm jealous of it, actually. You have the ability to be a dynamic and healthy leader in whatever you choose to do. But I challenge you to never let go of these two parts of you. And keep your eyes clear and full of joy, but never stop pursuing the big, deep, and complex issues and problems of the world we live in. Because sentimental people will call you a tough hang. And cynical people will call you all wrong, will get you all wrong and assume that you're some basic middle-class sports girl. I wondered why you kept coming back to youth group, and you showed us why. Alyssa, we love you. We're proud of you. Lydia Klein. Lydia Klein. Lydia, by the way, these talks are very honest. I'm just telling you. Lydia is stubborn. She's tough, and she's very frustrating. She has this level and cool exterior, and you're just simply never going to get past these defenses unless she wants you to see her thoughts and feelings. And occasionally, and I mean occasionally, you will get a glimpse of what is on the other side of this tough exterior. And at first, you know, I heard stories about it. There were legends. Her older sister would tell me about these times where Lydia would come into her room and share her heart and express her feelings about what was going on in the day or the week. And I was like, what? Lydia? For Lydia, youth group was never a consistent thing for her. She volunteered on Sunday. She would sit in the adult service with her family all the time. She would she never found youth group to be like a super consistent thing. And she would also volunteer at soccer camp every summer all the time. But Lydia would sometimes just come by the church. She would just come by sometimes and say, hey. She would often meet up with me and talk about life. Like I said, she volunteered at soccer camp. And she interned this year as a senior as much as she could. And Lydia was always super busy. And sometimes it'd be frustrating trying to figure out what was going on. Like, is she coming around? Is she not coming around? Couldn't figure it out. But then I got this insight into Lydia that changed how I understood her. Lydia, I name in you the gift of service. Lydia only lets in a few people, but she communicates love and respect with work. And all of a sudden, Lydia started to make sense to me. While she might not say it, Lydia works with those she respects and loves. This is how she communicates, not with words, but with actions. And as an intern, she could only do like 10% of what the other interns did. And it would have been easy for her to just let that go, to not even try. But whenever I needed help, like big help, I would text the group chat and be like, hey, I need some help here. And she would text me on the side and go, hey, I've got this going on. I'm going to clear this out. I'll be there for you. I'll be there. What time do you need me there? Lydia, thank you for your kindness to me and your gift of service over the years to this church community. There are multiple times you came in so clutch to help us have a youth group, to have a party, to pull off a fundraiser, to have soccer camp. And while you express love through work, I tend to express it through words. So Lydia, we love you and we are proud of you. Elijah Madden. Elijah loves to have fun. He loves it. And he loves to be a part, probably more so, he loves to be a part of meaningful work. Over the past year, I've seen Elijah really come into being his own person. But there's one thing you need to know about Elijah. While he is quite charming and is extremely kind, you love Elijah. I want Elijah around all the time. He's so fun. However, Elijah does not, and I mean does not, like feeling trapped. Elijah likes to do his own thing. And while Elijah loves having friends and loves hanging out, he has his own idea of what he wants to do, and that is great, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, my guy. And I remember my daughter was just born, actually, and your mom made food for us, and she drove it over to my house, and I came outside, and she was giving food for us. Do you remember this? That's fine.
I remember.
And it was delicious. I was grateful. But you were in the car, and you just sat there while your mom was talking to me. And so, of course, 50% of my job is to be annoying. So I went up to the window, and I was like, hey, Elijah, what's up? And you looked up from your phone, and you're like, what's up? Hey, I don't think I can come to youth group anymore. I've got basketball. And I remember feeling this weird feeling like you were talking to me. On the one hand, it's true. You love basketball. You're good at it, and you should pursue that. But the way you said it made me feel like this is a bit of a test. And I remember going, Elijah, I'm your youth pastor. Whether you like it or not, there is nothing you can do about that. You can come to youth group or not. I'm here for you. Please come around when you can. I love having you around. If you need to talk, you have my number. You know where my office is. And you looked at me, and you were like, you didn't really expect that, I think. And you said, you looked at me in the eyes, and you're like, thanks, Cole. And then I realized, Elijah is a people person. Hear me out. Elijah connects to people he trusts. And let me tell you, he doesn't trust very many people. When he trusts someone, he gives it his all. But trust is not going to just come easy with this guy. Elijah, this is why I'm naming you the gift of faith, fidelity. Faith doesn't mean belief, it means fidelity or trust. You have this internal sense of what trust really means. We throw that around a lot. You know what it means. And you understand the risk of trusting, of being faithful. You know and are clear-eyed about what the cost of fidelity actually is. And that's why you just don't pass it out left and right. So here's my challenge to you. You are a highly capable and well-liked person. You're going to be able to do a lot in this world, Elijah. People are going to open doors for you left and right. My challenge to you is to continue being careful of who you trust, to seek out people who exemplify love and joy and patience, who embody kindness, goodness, and fidelity, and trust those who pursue self-control. And watch out for people, leaders, mentors, and friends that want to use you, that like the idea of you, but don't see you. Because you're a great kid, and you have been a joy in my life over the past years. Not for what you've accomplished or because you're just so awesome, but because I see you and I know you. Elijah, we love you, and we are so proud of you. Vivi Kappel. Vivi is a kind and fun-loving person who enjoys theater, friends, and gathering people together. Vivi has been in and around youth group for years. But theater has always been this lovely but annoying aspect to Vivi's life. I mean annoying because it's the thing that has kept her from being around. If she, for some reason, is not around, theater is the reason why. It's annoying to me. You love it. And I just want you to hang out more often, you know? Vivi is kind, and she's sweet. But here's the thing about Vivi. Again, Vivi is going to pursue the things that she wants to pursue. She has, for as long as I have known her, gone her own way. And I used to think that Vivi didn't like me, actually, because I've noticed that she keeps her distance from adults. She kind of will keep her distance from them. But then I realized, oh, she has just figured out that if you hang around Cole too much, he's going to start asking you to do stuff. Vivi has her own ideas for the things she likes to do, and I love that about her. She is gently, and she stubbornly and gently goes her own way. Vivi, this is why actually I'm naming you the gift of discernment. One thing that I know about you is that you have watched a lot of adults behave extremely poorly. To your friends, to your parents, to your siblings, you have watched as people you trusted and loved eventually turned on the ones you love. I know that you internalize that frustration, and I see you all the time working to build friendships and bring people together and find groups and communities that will do less damage to the world and bring more hope. I also know that this damage has made you constantly hesitant to go in all in with groups, especially church stuff. And to that I want to say, I understand why. If I experienced what you experienced, I wouldn't be giving this speech. I'd say that. I will say this. I know your faith and the people of God are still important to you. And you have developed this strange ability to love your faith, to love your life, to love your family, love your friends. And you have developed this keen eye for systems, for theologies, and people that are not working in good faith. And you are so generous to people. You have so much space for all sorts of different kinds of people. But I know that when you start to feel that someone is doing damage, you pull away a bit. In that sense, not everybody has. That's discernment. You sense it. And here's my challenge to you. Sometimes, maybe, don't pull away. Lean in. For the sake of the community, sometimes, Vivi, speak. Say that your radar is picking up on some bad signals. Because sometimes the community needs to know that you have a bad feeling about something, about someone, about some idea, about some issue. I say all that, Vivi, because I trust you. I trust you. And I hope you trust yourself. You have been through some fires, and the kind of discernment I'm talking about only comes from someone that has been faithful in the midst of pain. I trust you to speak. The church needs it. We need it. Vivi, we love you, and we're so proud of you. Next up is Maya Ginto. My relationship with Maya began with playing a board game designed for four-year-olds. She was not four at the time. She was in high school, middle school. Maya's older sister would drag Maya to church early because her older sister practiced in the youth band. So there was young Maya sitting at the coffee tables in the atrium, bored, pretending to do homework, and mad that she had to come early with her sister. And then there was me, setting up for youth group, setting up the snack shop behind the kitchen counter, and I would see this quiet kid who looked extremely bored, sitting there in silence, playing with her pencil on the top of an open book, pretending to do homework. I started asking her to play this really stupid game, right, this really dumb game, with me at the kitchen bar. And I would ask her questions and try to get her to talk. I got nothing. Maya was just not really interested in talking at the time. But she would play every time. She would come up over to the bar, and we would stand there and play this game while I tried strategy after strategy to get her to just tell me anything about her life. It was a random youth group night that opened my eyes to who Maya is. You might not know this, but Maya's heart burns super hot for justice. And not the punitive kind, the relational kind. When Maya gets angry or hurts over systemic injustice, she cries. And it's not a sad cry. It's this interesting anger that bubbles up in the form of tears. And I walked past your small group one time, and I heard crying. And I also heard what sounded like preaching going on. And Maya was on one at the small group. And I love that about you. It's a wild version of you. Maya, and this is why I'm naming you the gift of prophecy. Maya is the best kind of prophet. She isn't trying to speak the truth because it'll help her win. She isn't trying to channel this rage at injustice because she wants to score points. Maya is bewildered and dumbfounded at why the world treats people of color the way it has and the way it does. Maya is completely befuddled at why we organize some things the way we do. And you have this inner ethic about you that guides you and shapes you. And while you're so honest and vulnerable about that, it's so compelling. And your reaction to injustice and the complete bewilderment and anger you feel is one of the most powerful things I've come across in youth ministry in a long time. I mean that. One final story. It took Maya a long time to make friends in youth group. It was really her senior year, and she really made some deep connections here. But I'll never forget when you got up on the retreat your senior year and you said to the youth group that you needed to be better about showing up and being vulnerable. You own that part. But you stood there in the circle and said that the youth group is cliquey and also needs to do a better job of being friends with people who don't live in Olathe. And you said that. You said that to the students, and you said that looking at me, and I was like, Then you sat down red-faced, and I could see you meant it. Never stop channeling that energy toward justice. This is a gift that God is bringing into the world through you. Maya, we love you, and we're proud of you. Taven De La Durante. Taven started his own religion. If you would like to know what it is, you can ask him about it. It's small right now. Its basic tenets are kind of centered on rap music. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what it's all about. I'm not sure Taven does either. But he's starting it. And so he'll pass out pamphlets after the service. He didn't think I'd bring that up. Okay, so I remember one time Taven missed youth group. I called him and I was like, Taven, where were you? And he was like, I was hanging out with some friends. And I said, oh, well, I missed you, man. And he's never missed another night. I don't know if you felt like I shamed you in that moment. I just was just telling you, I missed you, man. Taven is at everything. His presence at youth group is so ubiquitous that I'm actually experiencing some anxiety about losing him in the youth group next year. He's like the Swiss Army knife of friends. He can talk music, video games, art, culture. And then one other really strange thing about Taven, every year at soccer camp, I'm reminded, I kick the ball to his feet, like soccer camp, so I just kick the ball at him, like, hey, put those balls over there. And he just immediately starts juggling the ball and just like launches it into the goal. And every time I'm like, oh yeah, you're a good athlete. He just never shows it. Taven is like the oil to our youth group machine. It doesn't run without him around. He wasn't there last week and it was weird. It was weird, was it? Yeah, it was weird. And he did all this, he became this because of his relentless presence. I once asked your dad about you, and he was like, no, Taven just decided one day youth group's going to be his thing. This is why I'm naming you the gift of exhortation. Exhortation means encouragement. But Taven, you do this in a very Taven way. You aren't one for verbal encouragement. You will do that. But your presence makes everything better. I could go up and down the line of each of these interns, and each of these seniors, and each of these youth group students, and all of them will have some story that sounds something like, well, I came to youth group, I didn't really know anyone, and Taven came up and talked to me, and I just wanted to be friends with him. He just really made me feel loved. And you do this very naturally. And this is why I would often come up to you and say, this is why I would do this to you all the time, hey, can you go talk to that student or person over there, Taven? And as an intern, I would just start using your gift. Taven was an intern. I would start using his gift to help make people feel welcome. But a lot of the time, I would go up and say, hey, Taven, would you go talk to them? And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I talk to them a lot. They're cool. And then you would tell me some detail about their life that I didn't know. Like, you were always way ahead of me. Taven, you recently were one of three high schoolers who showed up to the funeral of one of the members of our church because you didn't want his funeral to be empty. And you didn't have any idea who he was, but you understand something extremely important. You picked up on something so unbelievably important, and most students take a while to get it. You not only understand youth group, you not only understand church, you understand what it is. You understand what church means. You understand what we're doing here. This isn't just a country club or a TED talk. Taven, you tether people to the love and grace of God through relationship and presence. You do it so naturally, you don't even know you're doing it. And this is the mission of God. And you naturally feel it and channel it into the world. So we just want to all say thank you. Taven, we love you, and we are proud of you. Lewis Suttle. Lewis is a creative, fun and kind human being who loves to think, loves to read, loves to write and engage in as many creative outlets as he possibly can. Lewis's creative interests range from Kendrick Lamar to some Japanese singer he plays all the time that I don't know who it is, and frankly, I don't really understand it, but he really likes it. He loves romantic comedies. He loves philosophy videos on YouTube. He even loves the long-form storytelling of video games. He writes short stories. He reads poetry. Look, there are not a lot of students who can match his breadth of interests and the depth with which he pursues creativity and art. Lewis is a different kid. And not that I wear clothes and like to act strange kind of different. Lewis's difference goes way deeper than how he presents himself. Lewis conceptualizes reality completely differently than most people. I will often ask Lewis what he thinks about something because he always comes at a topic or an issue with this bizarre and creative path. I would say he finds a way to the true, the good, and the beautiful in the most unexpected ways and practices and places. It totally expands my brain. I ask him stuff all the time. When he was in elementary school, Lewis let me know that he figured out how Scooby-Doo works. I said, what? He said, this is when he was in elementary school. You can always tell who the bad guy is. I said, really, how's that? He said, it's usually the first person they meet, and you just look at their shoes. I was like, what the heck? And he's right. I just ruined the show for you. Lewis conceptualizes the world very differently than you and me. Lewis has his own way, and this simultaneously makes Lewis a little lonely, but extremely powerful. Lewis, this is why I'm naming you the gift of prophecy. The prophets throughout the Old Testament were exactly those two things. A little lonely and full of responsibility of God's power. And for 17 years, Lewis has been wrestling with the way he sees the world and how different he is than most people. Occasionally collapsing into that question, what's wrong with me? Why am I like this? But this year, something has resurrected in him. Lewis has never run from his complexities. He's never pretended like his difference wasn't a struggle. And this year, Lewis started to realize that his experience of the complexities of his life, while they are a frustration and a constant reminder of the struggle is not the cause of this sense of separation. He's taught me this. Lewis has begun to make the connection that the cause of this sense of loneliness is our inability to tell the truth of our lives, to feel the truth of our lives, feel it. The issue, the issue is not really with me. The issue might be with us. Solidarity can be found in the struggle, but if nobody shares the struggle, it's a lonely experience. And so Lewis has taken on this mission to tell the truth. He is after solidarity. And this year, I watched him grow into this person who is annoyed by all of our avoidance and all of our nonsense and is not afraid to gently push people to journey into their wilderness, to take their life and their future seriously. And look, over the last decade, Lewis has entered and survived this wilderness. And he's come out of it with a fire for his life and a desire for people to know the goodness of what death and resurrection can be. And yes, it can be lonely to go where few people want to go, but it also gives you this great power, Lewis, to make peace with the wilderness in your faith, in yourself, in your future is a dangerous thing. It makes you a conduit of the resurrecting power of God. And this is a huge responsibility, my guy. Lewis, continue to lead us. Continue to teach us with your life and with your pursuits. We love you, and we are so proud of you. Sam Slife, this is our last senior. Okay, so I am proud of all these students. I'm proud of all these students. But I just want to point out in a very unique way that I'm very proud of Sam's life. So the story with Sam is that I knew his older brothers really well, but Sam was always the younger brother who had a little bit of a mouth on him. It wasn't bad. Sam always knew that weird line that would allow him to be hilarious, but always on the edge of getting punched. Sometimes that would happen too, but mostly he was always like right on the line. Middle school through junior year of high school, Sam was gone. For a lot of reasons, I thought, well, I guess we won't see Sam again. And one random day, I got a text from Spencer, Sam's older brother. "Yo, Cole, reach out to Sam." That's what it said. And so I said, okay. I fired up the old text message machine. I'm old. And was like, "Sam, where have you been? You should come to youth group this week." And apparently Elijah, at the same time, was like, "You should be there." Yeah, yeah. And I kid you not, he said, "Bet, I'll see you Wednesday." And after 5 years of being MIA, he basically never missed another event or youth group night. Sam presents as a tough guy. He still has one of the fastest and sharpest mouths I know. When he first started coming back to youth group, he came in pretty hot. I remember a few times my leaders were like, "So what's up with this kid?" And they just didn't know who he was or where he came from. And I would say all the time, "Give him a second. I believe in Sam. Give him a second. And over the past 2 years, I've not seen a kid transform like Sam's life. He is still Sam. He isn't performing some Christian behavior trope. He's not doing that. He didn't immediately take off all of his band shirts and put on a David Crowder shirt. You did it. You know you all did it. No, Sam did something that reminds me of Paul in Scripture. Sam took all the things that makes him Sam, the irreverence, the quick wit, the unbelievable work ethic, a family story that is absolutely not a perfect story. He took all those things, and he's begun reconnecting them. He's moving them away from anger and resentment and into community building and care. And Sam, this is why I'm naming you the gift of healings. There is this energy and strength to you, Sam, that you allowed to be transformed from something hostile to something hospitable. And I watch as every student in this youth group will climb on your shoulders, and they will draft off of your strength. You help those who don't have the strength to find it. You help those who don't have joy to find joy. You help those who don't have a great way of making friends to connect. And you do it effortlessly. And you also don't seem to be aware of it at all. You only know what the room is like when you're in it. Right? You don't realize what happens to the room when you're not around. And it changes drastically. But I think you're starting to realize this gift. Someone told me that you might want to be, I'm not going to hold you to it, but you might want to be a high school teacher. And look, Sam, you can do whatever you want to do in life, and I will love you. But Sam, in the words of one of our small group leaders, Sonia, when she told me that you might be interested in being a high school leader, yeah. You were built for that, or some version of that. Sam, we love you, and we're proud of you.
Thanks, Cole. I'm going to invite, actually, can a couple of you guys grab this? I'm going to invite all the graduates to come up now. And I also want to invite their small group leaders and anybody who taught these kids along the way and their families. We're just going to kind of clutter this place up. So come on up, seniors. If you would kind of gather around each other and families and mentors and teachers, come on up, and we're going to pray a blessing upon them. While they're doing that, I just want to say, you guys probably remember this, but every single week we've blessed you guys along the way, and we've prayed these words, these kind of peculiar words to us. We say, may you never know a single moment that you don't feel part of the people of God. That's what we prayed over you. And we prayed this in part because we just wanted those words to get inside your soul, but we also prayed it because we knew this moment would come when you have to decide if you want to be part of the people of God anymore. When we can't just make you do this stuff anymore. You have to choose for yourself. And so we just confess to you now that, in a sense, we know the future of the church depends on you guys. And we need you. We need your gifts, these gifts that Cole has named in you today. And we need your presence. And you're going to help the church become what it needs to be in the next generation. And we believe in you. We know you can do it. And we're so glad that we got to spend this time with you. And so what we're going to ask now is if everyone would stand, please, and just raise a hand toward these graduates in blessing, and we're going to pray this prayer that we pray every year for you. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have created us in your image and designed us for life with you and with each other. Today we give you thanks and praise for our graduates and their families, and our hearts rejoice at this great milestone in their lives. We thank you for each one of these graduates. They have blessed their families and our church so much already, and we are so proud of them. We celebrate in each of them the unique spiritual gifts Cole has named in them today. And we pray that they would look to you to know how to steward those gifts for the life of the world. And so we ask you to bless them this day, to protect them from the powers of darkness and chaos, to keep them safe, to make them healthy and strong. Continue to help them grow and mature. When they struggle, we pray that they would sense how close you are to them, how much you love them, and that your presence can be a comfort to them. And we call them forward once again this day to join with the body of Christ, to give their hearts to you, O God, to stay connected to the church, to contend against evil in the world, to fight for peace and justice, to bear witness with their lives to the good news of Christ's redemption. And when things get really, really hard, to reach out to you and hold on tight and reach out to each other and hold on tight. And more than anything, we pray once again that there would never be a single moment in their lives that they don't feel part of the people of God. And so we bless them this day, O God, and ask you to bless them in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, everyone. All right, you guys, you can go find your seats. Congrats.